Far out, in the uncharted backwaters of the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm of the galaxy, lies a small, unregarded yellow sun. Orbiting this at a distance of roughly 92 million miles is an utterly insignificant little blue-green planet whose ape-descended life forms are so amazingly primitive that they still think digital watches are a pretty neat idea. This planet has, or had, a problem, which was this. Most of the people living on it were unhappy for pretty much of the time. Many solutions were suggested for this problem, but most of these were largely concerned with the movements of small green pieces of paper. Which is odd, because on the whole, it wasn't these small green pieces of paper that were unhappy. And so the problem remained. And lots of the people were mean, and most of them were miserable, even the ones with digital watches. Many were increasingly of the opinion that they'd all made a big mistake in coming down from the trees in the first place. And some said that even the trees had been a bad move and that no one should ever have left the oceans. One day, nearly 2,000 years after one man had been nailed to a tree for saying how great it would be to be nice to people for a change, a girl, sitting on her own in a small cafe in Rickmansworth, suddenly realized what it was that had been going wrong all this time, and she finally knew how the world could be made a good and happy place. This time, it was right, it would work, and no one would have to get nailed to anything. Sadly, however, before she could get to a phone to tell anyone, the Earth was unexpectedly demolished to make way for a hyperspace bypass, and so the idea was lost forever. Meanwhile, Arthur Dent has escaped from the Earth in the company of a friend of his, who has unexpectedly turned out to be from a small planet somewhere in the vicinity of Betelgeuse, and not from Guildford after all. His name is Ford Prefect, for reasons which are unlikely to become clear again at the moment, and they are currently hiding in the storeroom of a Vogon spaceship.
What the hell's that?
Well, if we're lucky, it's a Vogon guard come to throw us into space.
And if we're unlucky?
The Vogon captain might want to read us some of his poetry first.
Oh, fettled grunt buggly, thy micturations are to me as plurdle gabble blockets in a lurgid bee that morbiously hath blurted out its earth and jumbles into a rancid vespran quintessence potentially. Now, the jerking slated are slurping angrily on the...
Vogon poetry is, of course, the third worst in the universe. The second worst is that of the Asgoths of Kria. During a recitation by their poet master, Grunthos the Flatulent, of his poem, Ode to a Small Lump of Green Putty I Found in My Armpit One Midsummer Morning, four of his audience died of internal hemorrhaging, and the president of the Mid-Galactic Art Snobbling Council only survived by gnawing one of his own legs off. Grunthos is reported to have been disappointed by the poem's reception and was about to embark on a reading of his 12-book epic entitled Zen and the Art of Going to the Lavatory when his own major intestine, in a desperate attempt to save life kind, leapt straight up through his neck and throttled his brain. The very worst poetry of all, and its creator, Paula Nancy Millstone Jennings of Greenbridge, Essex, England, perished in the destruction of the planet Earth. Vogon poetry is mild by comparison.
Perceptions, now the jerking slated agrocustules are slurping angrily up the axle roots, and living locules fraught and flocculate like jarling meated liver slime. Group, I implore thee, my fruiting turling groans, and hoopsiously blandle me with crinkly brindle wordles, or else I shall rend thee in the bomber words with my burgle crunch and see if I don't. So, earthlings.
I'm not an earthling.
Quiet. I present you with a simple choice. Think very carefully, for your very lives lie in your hands. Now choose. Either die in the vacuum of space, or tell me how good you thought my poem was.
I liked it. Huh? Oh, yes, I thought that some of the metaphysical imagery was really particularly effective.
Yes?
Oh, and, interesting rhythmic devices which seem to counterpoint the counterpoint the serialism of the underlying metaphor of humanity of the poet's compassionate soul, which strives through the medium of the verse structure to sublimate this, transcend that, and come to terms with the fundamental dichotomies of the other. And one is left with a profound and vivid insight into what everyone the poem was about.
So, what you are saying is that I just write poetry because underneath my mean, callous, heartless exterior, I just want to be loved. Is that it?
Well, I mean, yes. Don't we all? I mean, deep down, underneath, you know?
No, you're completely wrong. I write poetry just to throw my mean, callous, heartless exterior into sharp relief. I'm going to throw you off the ship anyway. Guard, take the prisoners to number 3 airlock and throw them out.
This is great! This is really terrific! Let go of me, you brute!
Don't worry, Arthur. I'll think of something.
Resistance is useless!
What is all this for? I woke up this morning, thought I'd have a nice, relaxed day, do a bit of reading, brush the dog. It's now just after 4 in the afternoon, and I'm already being thrown out of an alien spaceship 5 light years from the smoking remains of the Earth.
All right, just stop panicking!
Who said anything about panicking? This is just culture shock. Wait until I've settled down and found my bearings. Then I'll start panicking!
Arthur, you're getting hysterical. Shut up!
Resistance is useless!
And you?
Resistance is useless!
Ah, give it a rest. Look, do you enjoy this sort of thing?
What? What do you mean?
I mean, does it give you a full satisfying life?
Full satisfying life?
Yeah. Stomping around, shouting, pushing people off spaceships.
Well, the hours are good.
They'd have to be.
Ford, what are you doing?
Shh!
So, the hours are good, are they?
Yeah, though, now you come to mention it, most of the actual minutes are pretty lousy. Except some of the shouting I quite like. Resistance!
Yeah. You're good at that. I can tell. But if the rest of it is so lousy, why do you do it? The girls? The rubber? The machismo?
Oh, I don't know, really. I just sort of do it! You see, my aunt said that Spaceship Guard was a good career for a young Vogon, you know, the uniform, the low-sun stun-ray holster, mindless tedium.
Ford, this guy's half-throttling me!
Yeah, but try and understand his problem. Here he is, poor guy. His entire life is spent stamping around, pushing people off spaceships...
And shouting!
Yeah, and shouting, yeah. And he doesn't even know why he's doing it.
Oh, poignant. Very poignant.
Well, put it like that.
Good lad.
All right, what's the alternative?
Well, stop doing it, of course. Tell him you're not going to do it anymore. Stand up to him.
Doesn't sound that great to me.
Oh, but that's just the start, isn't it? I mean, there's more to it than that, you see. There's...
No. If it's all the same to you, I think I'll just get you to shout out of the air and then get on with some other bits of shouting I've got to do. Resistance is useless!
Yeah, but, I mean, come on now, look!
Oh, stop it, you beast!
There's music and art and things to tell you about yet!
Well, I think I'd better just stick to what I know. Thanks for taking an interest.
No, I've got a headache. I don't want to go to heaven with a headache. I'd be all cross and wouldn't enjoy it.
No, listen, look! There's a whole world, you know nothing about it. Now listen, how about this? Da 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 da. Doesn't that stir anything in you?
No. Well, I'll tell my aunt what you said.
Potentially a bright light, I thought.
We're trapped now, aren't we?
Yeah, we're trapped.
Well, didn't you think of anything?
Yeah.
What?
Unfortunately, it involved on being the other side of this hatchway.
So that's it? We're going to die?
Yeah. Except... no.
Wait a minute. What's this switch? What? Where?
No. I was only fooling. We're going to die after all.
You know, it's at times like this, when I'm stuck in a Vogon airlock with a man from Beetlejuice about to die of asphyxiation in deep space, that I really wish I'd listened to what my mother told me when I was young.
Why, what did she tell you?
I don't know, I didn't listen.
Terrific.
Counterpoint the surrealism of the underlying metaphor. Death's too good for them.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a wholly remarkable book. The introduction starts like this. Space, it says, is big, really big. You just won't believe how vastly, hugely, mind-bogglingly big it is. I mean, you may think it's a long way down the street to the chemist, but that's just peanuts to space. Listen. And so on. After a while, the style settles down a bit and it starts telling you things you actually need to know. Like the fact that the fabulously beautiful planet Bethselamin is now so worried about the cumulative erosion caused by over 10 billion visiting tourists a year that any net imbalance between the amount you eat and the amount you excrete whilst on the planet is surgically removed from your body weight when you leave. So, every time you go to the lavatory there, it is vitally important to get a receipt. In the entry in which it talks about dying of asphyxiation 30 seconds after being thrown out of a spaceship, it goes on to say that what with space being the size it is, the chances of being picked up by another craft within those seconds are 2 to the power of 260,199 to 1 against. Which, by a staggering coincidence, was also the telephone number of an Islington flat, where Arthur once went to a very good party, where he had some very good food, had some very good drinks, with some very good friends, and met a very nice girl, whom he totally failed to get off with.
This is kind of boring.
Though the planet Earth, the Islington flat, and the telephone have all now been demolished, it is comforting to reflect that they are all in some small way commemorated by the fact that some 29 seconds later, Arthur and Ford were, in fact, rescued.
See? I told you I'd think of something.
Oh, sure.
Great idea of mine. Find a passing spaceship, get rescued by it.
Oh, come on. The chances against it were astronomical.
Don't knock it. It worked.
Well, I hardly like to say this, but it looks like the seafront at South End.
God! I'm relieved to hear you say that.
Why?
I thought I must be going mad.
Perhaps you are. Perhaps you only thought I said that.
Well, did you or didn't you?
I think so.
Perhaps we're both going mad.
Nice day for it. Sun?
See?
You know, if this is South End, there's something very odd about it.
What do you mean, the way the sea stays steady as a rock? And the buildings keep washing up and down? Yeah. I thought that was odd.
2 to the power of 100,000 to 1 against and falling.
What's that?
I don't know. Sounded like a measurement of probability.
What does it mean?
I don't know. But I definitely think we're on some kind of spaceship.
Then I can only assume we're not in the first class compartment.
Something seems to be melting away. The stars are swirling. A dust bowl. Snow. My legs drifting off into the sunset. My left arm's disappeared. How am I going to operate my digital watch now? Ford, you're turning into a penguin. Stop it. What?
Due to the power of 75,000 to one against and falling.
Hey! What? Who are you? Where are you? What's going on? Is there anywhere I've gotten it?
Please relax, you are perfectly safe.
That is not the point, quiet! Point is, I am now a perfectly safe penguin, quiet! My colleague here is rapidly running out of limbs. Isn't there anything you feel you ought to be telling us?
Welcome to the Starship Heart of Gold. Please do not be alarmed by anything you see or hear around you. You are bound to feel some initial ill effects as you have been rescued from certain death at an improbability level of 2 to the power of 260,199 to 1 against, possibly much higher. We are now cruising at a level of 2 to the power of 25,000 to 1 against, and falling, and we will be restoring normality as soon as we are sure what is normal anyway. Thank you. 2 to the power of 20,000...
Arthur, this is fantastic! We've been picked up by a ship with a new infinite improbability drive. I mean, this is incredible, Arthur! Arthur? What's happening?
Ford? There's an infinite number of monkeys out here who want to talk to us about this script for Hamlet they've worked out.
The infinite improbability drive is a wonderful new method of crossing interstellar distances in a few seconds without all that tedious mucking about in hyperspace. The principle of generating small amounts of finite improbability by simply hooking the logic circuits of a Bumbleweeny 57 submesan brain to an atomic vector plotter suspended in a strong Brownian motion producer, say a nice hot cup of tea, had long been understood. And such generators were often used to break the ice at parties by making all the molecules in the hostess's undergarments simultaneously leap 1 foot to the left, in accordance with the theory of indeterminacy. Many respectable physicists said that they weren't going to stand for that sort of thing, partly because it was a debasement of science, but mostly because they didn't get invited to those sort of parties. Another thing they couldn't stand was the perpetual failure they encountered in trying to construct a machine which could generate the infinite improbability field needed to flip a spaceship between the furthest stars. And in the end, they grumpily announced that such a machine was virtually impossible. And then, one evening, a student who had been left to sweep up the lab after a particularly unsuccessful party found himself reasoning this way. If such a machine is a virtual impossibility, then it must logically be a finite improbability. So all I have to do in order to make one is to work out exactly how improbable it is, feed that figure into the finite improbability generator, give it a fresh cup of really hot tea, and turn it on. The moment he did this, he was rather startled to discover that he had managed to create the long-sought-after infinite improbability generator out of thin air. It startled him even more when, just after he was awarded the Galactic Institute's prize for extreme cleverness, he got lynched by a rampaging mob of respectable physicists who had finally realized that the one thing they really couldn't stand was a smartass.
Probability factor of 1 to 1. We have normality. I repeat, we have normality. Anything you still can't cope with is therefore your own problem.
Who are they, Trillian?
Just a couple of guys we picked up in open space. Sector ZZ9, plural Z Alpha.
Yeah, well, that's a very sweet thought, Trillian. But do you really think it's wise right now? I mean, here we are on the run and everything. We've got the police of half the galaxy after us, and we stopped to pick up hitchhikers. Yeah, okay, so 10 out of 10 for style, but minus several million for good thinking, huh?
They were floating unprotected in open space. You didn't want them to die, did you?
Well, no, not as such, but, you know.
A second later and they'd have been dead.
Yeah, so if you'd taken the trouble to think about it a moment longer, it would have gone away, right?
Anyway, I didn't pick them up. The ship did, all by itself.
Hey, what?
Hey, what?
The ship picked them up all by itself.
So what?
The ship picked up... Oh, forget it and go back to sleep, will you?
Hey.
They picked them up while we were in infinite improbability drive.
But that's incredible!
No, just very, very improbable. Look, don't worry about the aliens. They're just a couple of guys, I expect. I'll send the robot down to check them out. Hey, Marvin!
I think you ought to know I'm feeling very depressed.
Oh, God.
Well, here's something to occupy you and take your mind off things.
It won't work. I have an exceptionally large mind.
Marvin.
All right. What do you want me to do?
Go down to number 3 entry bay and bring the 2 aliens up here under surveillance.
Just that?
Yes.
I won't enjoy it.
She's not asking you to enjoy it. Just do it, will you?
All right, I'll do it.
Oh, good. Good, great. Thank you.
I'm not getting you down at all, am I?
No, Marvin. That's just fine, really.
I wouldn't like to think I was getting you down.
No, don't you worry about that. You just act as comes naturally and everything will be fine.
You're sure you don't mind?
No, it's all just part of life.
Life. Don't talk to me about life.
I don't think I can stand that robot much longer, Zaphod.
The Encyclopedia Galactica defines a robot as a mechanical apparatus designed to do the work of a man. The marketing division of the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation defines a robot as your plastic pal who's fun to be with.
Your plastic pal who's fun to be with.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy defines the marketing division of the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation as a bunch of mindless jerks who'll be the first against the wall when the revolution comes. With a footnote to the effect that the editors would welcome applications from anyone interested in taking over the post of robotics correspondent. Curiously enough, an edition of the Encyclopedia Galactica that fell through a time warp from 1,000 years in the future defines the marketing division of the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation as a bunch of mindless jerks who were the first against the wall when the revolution came.
I think this ship is brand new, Arthur.
Why? Have you got some exotic device for measuring the age of metal?
I just found this sales brochure lying on the floor. It says the universe can be yours for a mere 5 quilliard Altarian dollars.
Cheap?
A quilliard is a whole page full of noughts with a 1 at the beginning. Ah, listen. This is what I was after. Sensational new breakthrough in improbability physics. As the ship's drive reaches infinite improbability, it passes simultaneously through every point in the universe. Be the envy of other major governments. I mean, wow! This is really big league stuff.
Well, it's a whole lot better than that dingy Vogon crate. This is my idea of a spaceship. All gleaming metal, flashing lights, everything. Oh, I wonder what'll happen if I press this button.
Don't.
Oh.
What happened?
A sign lit up saying, please do not press this button again.
They make a big thing of the ship's cybernetics. A new generation of Sirius Cybernetics Corporation computers and robots with a new GPP feature.
GPP? What's that?
It says, genuine people personalities.
Ugh, sounds ghastly.
It is.
What?
It all is. Absolutely ghastly. Just don't even talk about it. Look at this door. All the doors in this spacecraft have a cheerful and sunny disposition. It is their pleasure to open for you and their satisfaction to close again with the knowledge of a job well done.
Glad to be of service.
Hateful, isn't it? Come on. I've been ordered to take you up to the bridge. Here I am, brain the size of a planet, and they tell me to take you up to the bridge. Call that job satisfaction, 'cause I don't.
Excuse me, which government owns this ship?
You watch this door. It's about to open again. I can tell by the intolerable air of smugness it suddenly generates.
Please enjoy your trip through this door.
Come on.
Thank you
very much, the marketing division of the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation.
Which government?
Let's build robots with genuine people personalities, they said. So they tried it out with me. I'm a personality prototype. You can tell, can't you?
I hate
that door. I'm not getting you down, am I?
Look, which government owns
it? No government owns it. It's been stolen.
Stolen?
Stolen.
Who by?
Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Zaphod Beeblebrox?
Sorry. Did I say something wrong? Pardon me for breathing, which I never do anyway, so I don't know why I bother to say it. Oh, God, I'm so depressed. Here's another one of those self-satisfied doors. Life. Don't talk to me about life.
No one even mentioned it.
Glad to be of service.
Really? Zaphod Beeblebrox?
Reports brought to you here on the sub-ether waveband, broadcasting around the galaxy, around the clock. And we'll be saying a big hello to all intelligent life forms everywhere and to everyone else out there. The secret is to bang the rocks together, guys. And of course, the big news story tonight is the sensational theft of the new improbability prototype ship by none other than Zaphod Beeblebrox. And the question everyone's asking is, has the big Z finally flipped? Beeblebrox, the man who invented the pangalactic goggle blaster, ex-confidence trickster, part-time galactic president, once described by Eccentrica Golombich, the triple-breasted whore of Eroticon 6, as the best bang since the big one, and recently voted the worst-dressed sentient being in the universe for the seventh time running. Has he got an answer this time? We asked his private brain care specialist, Gag Hellfront.
Then look, Zaphod just this guy, you know?
Beeblebrox stole the improbability drive ship when he was, in fact, meant to be launching it.
Hey, kid, what did you do that for?
I just thought of something.
Yeah, worth interrupting a news bulletin about me for?
Look, can we leave your ego out of this? This is important.
If there's anything more important than my ego around here, I want it caught and shut now.
Listen, we picked up those couple of guys.
Hey, what couple of guys?
The couple of guys we picked up.
Oh, yeah, those couple of guys.
We picked them up in sector ZZ9, plural Z, Alpha.
Yeah!
Does that mean anything to you?
Well, sector ZZ9, plural Z, Alpha?
Well?
Yeah, what does a Z mean?
Well, which one?
Anyone.
Look, would you mind looking at the galactic charts?
Hey, that's wild! I mean, how did we come to be there? We should have zapped right into the middle of the Horsehead Nebula, and that is nowhere!
The improbability drive. We pass through every point in the universe. You know that.
Yeah, but, like, actually picking those dudes up at that point is just too wild a coincidence. I want to work this out. Hey, computer.
Hi there.
Oh, God.
Whatever your problem, I'm here to help you solve it. All I want to do is to make your day more and more bearable.
Oh, shut up and work something out for me, will you?
A probability forecast based on...
improbability data, yeah.
Okay. Did you know that most people's lives are governed by telephone numbers?
Telephone numbers?
A And then, of course, I've got this terrible pain in all the diodes down my left side.
Really?
Oh, yes. I mean, I've asked for them to be replaced, but no one ever listens.
I can imagine.
Well, well, well. Zaphod Beeblebrox.
I don't believe it! This is just too amazing, Trillian! Trillian! Oh, this is gonna be great! I am gonna be so amazingly cool, it would fluster a vegan snow lizard. What real cool? Several million points out of 10 for style. Right, now which is the most nonchalant chair to be discovering? Yep.
I suppose you'll want to see the aliens now. Do you want me to sit in a corner and rust, or just fall apart where I'm standing?
Show them in, please, Marvin.
Thank you.
Ford, hi. How are you? Glad you could drop in.
Huh? Oh, hi, Zaphod. Great to see you. You're looking well. The extra arm suits you.
Hey. This is a great ship you've stolen.
Ford, you mean you know this person?
Know him? He's my... Oh, hey, Zaphod. I'd like you to meet a great friend of mine, Arthur Dent. I saved him when his planet blew up.
Sure. Hi, Arthur. Glad you could make it.
And Arthur, this is
We've
my...
We've met.
What?
Oh, have we? Hey...
What do you mean, Matt? This is Zaphod Beeblebrox from Beetlejuice 5, you know, not bloody Martin Smith from Croydon.
I don't care. We've met, haven't we, Zaphod? Or should I say, Phil?
What?
At a party 6 months ago?
Hey, I really doubt that, you know.
On Earth? England? London? Islington?
Oh, hey, yeah, that party.
What? You mean you've been to that miserable little planet as well?
I may have just dropped in, you know, on my way somewhere.
Hey. At this party, it was a girl I was after. Beautiful, charming, devastatingly intelligent, everything I'd been saving myself up for. Along comes this friend of yours and says, hey, doll, is this guy boring you? Why don't you come and talk to me? I'm from a different planet.
Zaphod?
Well, of course, he only had the two arms and the one head and called himself Phil, but...
But you must admit he did turn out to be from a different planet.
Good heavens, Tricia McMillan!
Trillian to you.
Infinity minus one. Improbability zone now complete. For my next trip...
Shut up.
What are you doing here?
Same as you. I hitched a lift. After all, with a degree in maths and another in astrophysics, it was either that or back to the Dole queue on Monday.
Oh, God. Ford, this is Trillian. Hi. Trillian, this is my semi-cousin Ford, who shares three of the same mothers with me. Hi. Trillian, is this sort of thing going to happen every time we use the infinite improbability drive?
Very probably, I'm afraid.
Say, Ford Beeblebrox, this is a very large drink. Hi.